You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. It is homecoming week at the Hayward School District, and today is Sports Team Day. Make sure you wear your favorite Sports Team Day apparel today at Tuesday. Tomorrow is Western Day. That'll fit just fine here at WHSM. Thursday is USA Day, and of course, Friday, the big game day, Hurricane Day is happening then. So today, Sports Team Day for homecoming week at the Hayward School District. Today is Treaty Day for the Ojibwe community. It is recognition of the 1854 treaty, and there'll be lots of events happening out in Bayfield and on Madeline Island, starting at 7 o'clock and going until 5. Lots of information. You can find it at redcliffe-nsn.gov/1854treaty. Again, information about the Treaty Day commemoration happening in Bayfield and Madeline Island can be found at redcliffe-nsn.gov/1854treaty. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 a.m. This will be at the Spider Lake Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77 in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats and produce, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program regardless of your financial situation. Again, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf, operating out of the Spider Lake Youth Center, Hayward Campus. The LCO Ojibwe University is having a Takeaway Tuesday class starting at noon. Takeaway Tuesdays happens in the 600 wing of the university from 12 and 2 to 2. Make and take workshops includes earrings, paintings, baskets, mugs, soap making, cup koozies, and miscellaneous crafts. For more information, you can call 715-634-4790. And again, that is for the LCL University at 13466 West Trepanier Road in Hayward. It is Takeaway Tuesday's class from 12 until noon. Boys Varsity Cross Country for Spooner, starting at 4:30, will be at Timberland Hills. Again, Spooner Boys Varsity Cross Country Meet starting at 4:30 at Timberland Hills. Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward School starting at 5 o'clock against Cumberland at home at the Hayward High School Varsity Soccer Field. It is Parents Night as well. Again, Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward School starting at 5 o'clock at the High School Varsity Soccer Field at home against Cumberland, and its Parents' Night. Boys Varsity Soccer for Barron Schools start at 5 o'clock, and they will be at the Spooner High School. Again, Boys Varsity Soccer for Barron away at Spooner starting at 5 o'clock. Girl Scouts information and registration meeting will be happening at the Spooner Elementary and Shell Lake Elementary Schools starting at 5:30 on Tuesday. Outdoor adventures, creative arts and crafts, and community support is what Girl Scouts are all about. It is a fun, hands-on program where girls will build confidence, learn new skills, make new friends, and explore the world, all while making a difference in their communities. Join them online at mygs.girlscouts.org. Again, mygsgirlscouts.org. Again, happening at the Spooner Elementary and Shell Lake Elementary Schools tonight at 5:30, a Girl Scouts information and registration meeting. The WWBIC is having an interactive roundtable designed for small manufacturers and makers. Learn practical strategies and business growth, workforce development, operational improvements, and funding opportunities. All of this happening at 6 o'clock, located at 10632 Hayward Court here in Hayward. Again, this is for the WWBIC Manufacturing Roundtable, starting at 6 o'clock. Registration is encouraged. Just go to wwbic.com/trainings for more information. Girls varsity volleyball from Hayward is playing Unity High School at 7 p.m. Again, girls varsity volleyball is an away game for Hayward at Unity High School, starting at 7 o'clock. Girls varsity volleyball for Barron School will be at home, starting at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, October 1st at 8:30, the Spooner Middle School will be on a field trip. They are going to go to Hunt Hill field trip, so prepare your fifth graders for that. Again, Spooner Middle School fifth graders will be heading out to a field trip on Wednesday morning, starting at 8:30 to Hunt Hill. Girls varsity golf is starting at 9 o'clock at Luck Golf Course. And the following schools will be participating in this: Ashland, Cumberland, Randsburg, Northwestern, Rice Lake, and Spooner, and of course Hayward. Again, girls varsity golf at Luck. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tuesday morning here on The Buzz of the North, and Pat Kreitlow will be back in just a little bit. Joel here and Gray Gunderson. Good morning, Gray.
Good morning, Joel.
Well, it's Tuesday. You know what that means, right?
It's a morning. Is it good? I'm very neutral on that. I don't know how to feel, Joel.
It's Taco Tuesday somewhere, but today it's Greeple. It's Greeple time. We speak Green Bay Packer football, and we speak purple. And it was a fun weekend of football.
It was.
We're in a rut, not a rut. We're in a pattern of football right now.
A groove of
block kicks and field goals, and it just things happening that are just in bunches, it seems like.
And I know groove is more like rhythm. That's what people mean when they say we're in a groove.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, you could kind of mean we're in a rut, but more positively. You know, like a literal groove and a rut, those are the same thing, just with different perspectives. So that's how I'm going to look at it. I agree. I like that came up that way. The blocked kicks, the strong defensive performances, rookies playing out of their minds these last couple weeks. It's been a charmed season so far.
It has been. And the Packers experienced every emotion that you just mentioned, plus about seven more on Sunday night. In a game that, going into it, we kind of thought, well, the Packer defense has been really good this year. I know the Dallas offense has also been good this year, but you figured, well, the Packers will probably take care of business. We'll get to Dak. We'll knock them around a little bit. It was a track meet.
Yes.
It was a track meet.
Absolutely. I mean, every yard of that field got touched by about three different size 13 shoes, you know, like just like everybody was everywhere and they were all on offense and nobody played defense. I definitely felt a lot of anxiety about that game. And, Yeah, I still am not sure entirely how to feel, but that's the tie, right? That's the whole tie. The resolution just isn't there, so we have to decide. That's what I concluded on my show, by the way, was a tie is much like real life, which is why it stinks. Yeah. there's too much good with the bad. Like, no, give me one.
It is bizarre, and to have it end up tied that way, when you look at a blocked extra point that got taken the other way for 2 points, had a big influence on how that game was played at the end. I'm not saying it won or lost it and how it would have ended, but it had a huge influence on how the last quarter and the overtime was played.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, now the question in my mind becomes, Joel, what has changed about the discussion? Because, you know, going into the game, the expectation is these Cowboys have terrible defense pretty consistently so far this season. The Packers have passable offense with missed opportunities, and so people expected a certain victory. But that was informed by what the Cowboys have done so far this season and who they did it against.
Right, right.
Which in turn is informed by the same things. So now, so what would have been a little bit different if the Cowboys lost as expected? People would have said, yep, the Packers are who we've been saying they are. Their defense is phenomenal. Their offense misses sometimes, but still does well. And they would have said, yep, and the Cowboys let another one by, even if they would have scored pretty decently on offense. And there might be conversations about, hey, is Jeff Hafley's defense leaky or things like that. You know, we'd still be talking about the missed opportunities and the issues that were there. But generally, we'd be seeing yesterday's game as confirmation of last weekend's conversations.
Yeah.
But going forward now, the Packers are no longer going to be seen as that juggernaut that they started for 2 weeks as, you know.
Oh, drop now, of the power ranks, yeah.
Which means that the teams that beat us won't get quite as much credit, which means the Cowboys won't get quite as much credit for this tie. I mean, this is why. I mean, this game, it was a tie, and the feelings are complex, but it's also the perfect example of why I've got such a huge problem with these guys who tell you what's coming. It's like, okay,
no,
Michael Irvin, I don't care that you were really good. You just don't know. Like, you didn't know that the Niners were going to get you that year. You thought you knew. You went into that game thinking you knew. It's just the nature of the game. That's what I enjoy about it. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm just grumpy at the pundits. Am I just therapizing, Joel?
Yeah, because you're confused. You're just confused because the emotions of a tie are just numb.
There's more than one.
Yeah, it's that moment. Everybody has that moment in your life where for some reason you just feel even. You don't feel good. You don't feel bad. You're just kind of like coasting on the gravity, and that's kind of what a tie is. Everybody walked to their bed last night after the game and just kind of said, well, I guess we're going to have to figure out what tiebreakers are with a one at the end all
yes.
the time.
Yep. One of the announcers mentioned the only thing that this game didn't offer was closure. I thought, yeah, that's pretty true. It was a little bit of everything but closure.
I still feel pretty confident that the Cowboys probably aren't going to be a playoff team. I don't think they will be. Their offense clicked last night. The Packers defensively, for whatever reason, just couldn't get that pressure that they've had, and they had a couple injuries. They had an injury to one of their corners that the guy who came in replaced, he whiffed on a couple of tackles later in the game. So that was a key part. But we find out, as we go through the season, we find out how good the backups are, number one.
Yep.
And then we find out how good the team is at bringing other people in to replace the backups that aren't any good, and now we need somebody to come in here. That's why 17-0 is almost impossible. You're just going to have a couple of those games where you got to throw somebody out there and see if they're any good, see if they figure it out.
Yeah, we begin to see why I have enough material to spend a whole offseason talking about things like a practice squad and why each guy can be elevated for exactly 3 games without counting against one of the 53. I mean, like, there's so many layers that they all amount to who's available, what have you invested into those backups, was it too much, did you detract? Like, that's it. It's the chaos of all the variables. That, in many ways, is the appeal to each of us, I think, in our own individual perspective. But no, a fantastic and charmed weekend of football. Close games, man. What's better than a close game?
It was the beginning of Jackson Dart, right? Mr. Dart.
Started with a win, and Dable might have a career for this season at least.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks as though the Lions are the best team in the division right now, anyway.
Might well be.
That's for a week, anyway. They'll get that honor. And there's something I noticed about last night's game that, as a fan of the Vikings, scared me a little bit.
Ooh, I like this.
So I'm going to share that in our segment later this hour at about 7:52. Careful there on the liking of the purple. And we'll talk a little bit about the Viking game, too, which was not a good one for the purple. But Aaron Rodgers played well for those Steelers. More to come. Pat Kreitlow, he is stepping back in next here on your Greeple Tuesday morning. Talk of Green and Purple with Joel Green here on the Buzz of on a goal for the green and gold text to win Tuesday morning. Joel and Gray here with a Greeple Tuesday. Got a keyword for you. It's win, W-I-M. Should have dropped that note to Matt LaFleur on Sunday night. W-I-N, win. It's not tie. It's win, W-I-N is your keyword through the Civic Media app. Touch on Buzz of the North to get yourself entered. So as a fan of the purple, when I watch way too much football Sunday. I got up Sunday morning like 8 o'clock, watched the Vikings. I watched the noon game. I wanted to watch the Bear game at 3 o'clock, but it gave me that Chiefs blowout. And then I watched the Packers. Watching the Packer game last night, about third quarter, I thought to myself, this could be bad news for Viking fans, because I think Mr. Dobbs and Mr. Golden are 1A, 1B in the receiver. I think the Packers might be building a pretty decent receiving core right now.
I think so. And I mean, I hate to talk about Micah Parsons again when that's not what we're discussing, but it's a good example of what's happening. You get one guy to elevate a room full of pretty good can become holy cow with one extra push. And that's what happened with the pass rush. Lucas Van Ness hasn't been able to quite put it together. Rashawn Gary's had a few good seasons, but you put Micah Parsons in there, voila, now he's double teamed and Rashawn's eating, though he didn't yesterday, or this past weekend, I mean, forgive me. But like, it's the same thing in the receiver room. Golden has shown, even as a rookie, that he's fast enough to command a cushion. And he's also shown that when the receiver gives him that cushion, that he can manipulate it. And it's like, cool, not only are you fast, you're smart enough to use it. That means defenses have to respect you, and they can't just let you free. And that means they can't devote those resources elsewhere. So, yes, I agree. 3 touchdowns from Romeo, 1A, 1B situation. But Jaden Reed will come back. We need Christian Watson back. And we're suddenly looking at too many cooks. I mean, it will become a question probably of contracts and what we can afford to keep. I wouldn't be surprised if any one of our top options is gone after this season simply because of cap reasons. And, hey, we're paying Micah Parsons $47 million a year. Yeah, so
remember several years back when they came out with the promotion of putting your favorite player's large head like on your bedroom wall for young football fans? I think they were called Fatheads.
Fatheads, yeah, totally.
So Dobbs, and who's the other guy with the fat head?
Savion Williams.
So I think Dobbs and Williams should be the fathead boys. And
everybody calls those fatheads. I've heard like four people call those fatheads.
And I say that in a good way. I think it's awesome that they can wear those, and if it helps them with concussions, that's great. But I'll admit, every time I watch a Packer, as soon as I tune in the Packer game and I see one of those two, immediately I think to myself, did someone turn on the Madden game? It looks like maybe we got a Madden, because it just looks a little bit out of place.
You know, I think of PlayStation 2 and I think of a modern powerful system because it's the one I grew up on 25 years ago. But it's like, it looks like we're playing a PlayStation 2 game out there. Like, these are bobbleheads. But it doesn't help that Savion Williams and Romeo Dobbs might be the skinniest two dudes on our whole offense.
Yeah, like, those you're guys, right. Because the larger head kind of is amplified by their skinnier body.
Yeah. And Romeo's got a pretty normal frame on him, but Savion's, I think, 6'5". So it's like, it stands out. It's like, that's the ball and the chain standing upright.
Yeah, so the wide receiver part definitely was good. We'll see if that holds true against better defenses, because that defense of the Cowboys, not a good defense. They've given up a lot of yards already this year. But the Viking game on Sunday, the Vikings lost a turnover battle. They were in Dublin. I'm from Dublin. They were in Dublin, Ireland.
No, you're not.
And And the Vikings had a couple of picks, almost had another turnover, and Aaron Rodgers played well, and it was a Steelers home game, and there were a lot of Steelers fans there. I don't know if they allot more tickets or what they do for that. But being a Viking fan, I wasn't totally disheartened by that game because you know if you lose the turnover battle, especially by two, your odds of winning are just not very good at all.
Indeed, and I think this is between this and last week's game, you see what the Vikings might be. I think we have seen both their floor and their ceiling. You know, that absolute stomping match last week that was just you guys doing a jig, as opposed to this past week where, yeah, you're mortal. So here's what Kevin O'Connell's got to worry about and has to use in the toolkit. That is good for fans because you know where the margins are, but also it's bad because now there's tape of weaknesses. You know, there's a whole game's worth of what gets in under Carson Wentz's skin. And I expect no less when it comes to Mike Tomlin led team. I love right. the Steelers for their coaching staff.
And Wentz threw for 350 yards, but like 80 of those came on one play. And when he can drop back and throw that ball 25, 30 yards over the middle down the field, he's very comfortable. He's not a good touch passer. He hit a defensive lineman basically in the helmet that turned into an interception. Those short little touch passes doesn't seem to be in his repertoire.
Yeah, he definitely has good instincts. It almost reminds me of Caleb Williams in a way. Like, hey, if you don't think about it, you do some really cool stuff. But stop thinking about it, man. We're trying to win here. Like, yeah, don't aim it, just throw it.
I think no matter – this is probably good news for any Viking fans listening because even if Carson Wentz comes out and has a really good game next week against Cleveland, after the bye week, I think J.J. McCarthy's coming back.
Yeah.
I think this – just the interceptions alone, Kevin O'Connell, he is not going to put up with picks. That just disrupts the whole game plan everywhere when that happens. So I think after the bye week in 3 weeks, you'll see JJ out in the field.
I mean, yeah, Carson Wentz is not Steve Young. I don't expect a controversy of any sort of magnitude.
No. And he's doing a decent job. He gave him a chance to win. And if he beats Cleveland this Sunday, well, job well done. We're 3-2 with a backup quarterback. And, you know, you're still there. You're still in good shape.
Yep. Last year, the Steelers pulled Justin Fields after a bunch of wins because they knew that it wasn't going to be sustainable. And then they got a bunch more wins with a different quarterback. Well, people were asking him, why'd you switch? Why'd you switch? You were winning. Because sometimes even the winning quarterback or the winning player isn't the right one to have in next week.
Yeah.
And that's Carson Wentz to the T.
And the Viking defense is still good. They were put in a bad spot by their offense on Sunday. The big question mark for the Vikings is their offensive line. Three of their five offensive linemen were out for most of the game this past Sunday, and they're not deep enough to do that. Their starters are really good. Their offensive line for the Vikings could be really good if they're healthy, but if you start putting in backups, right off the edge. Just say, Wile E. Coyote. See you later.
I got to say this at some point. When the Cowboys are 100% healthy, they have three offensive linemen named Tyler.
Right. Thank you for that tidbit. Keyword.
It's a tie, Joel.
For the 7 a.m. hour is WIN, W-I-N. Here on the Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow making his way back in next. It's a Rainbow Tuesday. Topic football with Joel and Gray here on WBZH.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Michael Heim, who is an ecological consultant, but he also does some workshops for the Cable Natural History Museum. And Mike, you're going to be doing a field trip, as it were, with the Blue Hills Fesimere, if I said that right.
Good close, morning. Mark, close. Yeah. By the way, it's good to see you again.
Yes, you.
The Blue Hills Fesimere is a fantastic place, and I'm so fortunate that the Cable Natural History Museum is having me guide a field trip there, because most people don't realize there's this place not too far from the Hayward area.
Okay.
That is reminiscent of the alpine areas of the Rocky Mountains, for instance, or the Black Hills.
Wow.
And it's not just one interesting location that we're going to. There's a lot of different interesting spots in the Blue Hills that are really unexpected for northern Wisconsin.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, what is a Felsenmeer?
A Felsenmeer, it's a German word, and it means sea of rock. And that's because this area is a canyon of broken pink quartzite blocks, boulders, stretching as far as you can see, hundreds and hundreds of feet. Most of them were broken apart from the upper cliffs during the last ice age, because the continental glacier was just a couple of miles to the north of the Felsenmeer. Yeah. And so the climate was really varied a lot, freezing and thawing, hot and cold. And the water would get into the little cracks in the quartzite and ice wedge busted apart. You know, every night it would break more and break more because of these harsh conditions.
Kind of like what it does to our streets.
And that's the same idea, right? The freezing and thawing broke these blocks, and they rolled to the lowest point. And they did a sonar survey, and they found that it's about 70, 80 feet deep, from what I recall. So just the broken rock.
Yeah.
Now, if you go there on a really hot day in August, like I did a few years ago, muggy, hot, it was in the 90s, and you come in from below, from the bottom of this canyon, all of a sudden you notice your ankles get cold as you're walking in, and then your knees get cold as you walk farther. Then your chest gets cold, and eventually your head gets cold, and you're under there. It's like walking into a walk-in cooler.
Yeah,
it's incredible. There's all this cold air during the summertime emanating from all the openings between these pink quartzite boulders.
Yeah,
some people think there might be even ice year-round, you know, way down deep there.
Yeah,
because it's so well insulated.
So, what does this quartz look like?
Quartzite. There's a difference between quartz and quartzite. Yeah. Quartz is created by volcanic activity. It's a vein in lava or magma. It's where you find gold. You know, it cools and precipitates out. Quartzite used to be sand, and the sand got cemented into sandstone over millions of years. And then with more layers of rock on top of the sandstone, it got squeezed so hard by the weight above it that the sand grains actually fused into one another. So if you take a piece of sandstone and take a hammer and break it, it'll break between the sand grains. You can feel the sand any place.
Yeah.
If you take a piece of quartzite and do that and feel it, you cannot feel the sand grains. You can still see the sparkle in the sunlight, but you can't feel sand grains because it's like a piece of glass. All of the silica of the quartz sand grains have fused into one another. So it's the hardest rock we have, and that's why nobody lives in most of the Blue Hills, except in a very few areas where there's some deposits where you can sink a well. But there's no water in quartzite, unlike sandstone. So and plus it'd be really hard to drill because it's so hard, but there's no water. So you want to take a shower and no water comes out if you did that.
Right.
So no water, nobody's going to live there.
So where is this area? And is it accessible to the public?
Yeah. The Blue Hills are a huge area. The majority of it is between Rice Lake and Ladysmith. In Barron and Russ County. And then it extends up, the Blue Hills extend up into Sawyer County. On the northernmost of the Blue Hills are Pipestone Hill on the Elsio Reservation, just below the Chippewa Flowage on H. And 6 Mile Hill, which is near Reserve. Those are the two northernmost of the Blue Hills. They're quartzite hills.
Yeah.
And then Meteor Hill is the highest point in Sawyer County. That's a little bit farther south. That's also this quartzite. And then the main part of the Blue Hills where the Felsenmeer is. And there's not just one Felsenmeer. There's several. They're kind of parallel to one another, these canyons.
Sure. Okay.
The one that we're going to on the field trip is just a state natural area. It's the largest of all these Felsenmeers.
Okay. Yeah. This event, the field trip that you're hosting, is October 1st from 9 o'clock until 5:30. Mm-hmm. There is a fee of about $35 for this.
For members of the museum.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, members, mm-hmm. non-members, it's $45. How do people sign up, and where do they meet you at?
Well, they can sign up either online, And the website to sign up is cablemuseum.org /events. Or they can call the Cable Natural History Museum at 715-798-3890. Yeah. Folks will need to bring their a bag lunch and and some water. We'll be having lunch in the Felsenmere when we get to the top of it.
Yeah. How long is this field trip going to be?
It's a fairly long hike. We leave the museum at 9. We pick up folks at L&M in Hayward at 9:30. What's the point of driving up to Cable if you live down here? And then we should be done estimating 5:30.
Okay.
You know, being back.
Yeah. Well, Michael, thank you for stopping in and telling us about this, and have a good trip with the people out there.
Oh, we sure will.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Mark.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.